Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another good program, Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I are going to do our very best to share some inspiring words with you today. It's appropriate that this time of year, we pause from our busy schedules and our calendar of events and all the busyness and just take time to talk about worshiping Jesus and the birth of Christ. It is that time of year. Christmas is a wonderful time of year. And Dave and I have decided that we're going to try to share some interesting thoughts about that. It's difficult for us to come up with anything new that you haven't already heard, but let's try to entertain some basic information for all of those people who maybe aren't as familiar with the birth of Christ as we are. And what does the Bible say about the birth of Christ without us trying to dilute it in any way? Well, let me share a small translation that hopefully will have some meaning to you about the birth of Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was engaged to marry Joseph. But before they married, she learned that she was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Mary's husband, Joseph, was a good man, he did not want to disgrace her in public, so he planned to divorce her secretly. While Joseph thought about these things, an angel of the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, descendants of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the baby that's in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." All of this happened to bring about what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be pregnant, she will have a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what he had told him to do, and Joseph took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to the son. And Joseph named him Jesus.
Hey, that's the New Testament. Let me read from the Old Testament, please.
Good idea, Dave. Thank you.
The Christmas story is fascinating, and I know that people are listening every day for things that talk about the Christmas season. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 7, it reads this way, "And then Isaiah said, Ahaz, descendant of David, listen carefully. Isn't it bad enough that you wear out the patience of people? Do you also have to wear out the patience of my God? The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be pregnant. She will have a son, and she will name him Emmanuel." The doctrine of the virgin birth is crucial to our faith. The resurrection of the Son of God was accomplished by a creative act of the Holy Spirit in the body of Mary, a virgin. It was a special miracle performed by the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, which enabled the second person of the Trinity, the eternal Son of God, to take upon himself a genuine, although sinless, human nature. He was born of a virgin as a man without surrendering any aspect of his duty. One with us, yet one with God. He had to become man because man was the one who had sinned. He had to be God because God was the only one who could do anything about the sins of men. Humanity had tried for centuries, and the situation only got worse. The only way God could bring about the salvation of the fallen human race was to assume the form of the race he was to redeem. God has given us the means to know the truth. Jesus is the way to the Father because he is our Redeemer. He is the truth because he is the fulfillment of all prophecies concerning him. He's the life because he overcame death. Jesus has the fullness of God dwelling in him bodily forever and ever, and the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Old Testament. It's important that we read not only the new, but the old.
It's a beautiful, beautiful story, David. I thank you for sharing. That's quite meaningful. You tie those pieces together, and you can see how it was prophesied many, many, I don't know exactly how many years ago Isaiah was written, but it was a long time that it prophesied that Jesus would be born, how he would be born. And it all came to be to follow the scriptures precisely. That's more evidence that what the Bible tells us holds a lot of truth and is not to be taken lightly. This is the time of year for us to consider that. I'd like to take a minute, if we could, and read about the wise men. I want to share some of those verses with you, David, because I am keenly interested in what you have to say. You, as a pastor, would have been able to cover this area in great depth over the years. And it's always been a big question mark for us because we hear so many variety words about the wise men. When did it happen? How long did it happen? And all those sort of things. Let me read some of the background information, and then I'll put you on the hot seat and quiz you about it. Let me share, if I may. Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. When Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the baby who was born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, as well as all of the people in Jerusalem. Herod called a meeting of all of the leading priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ could be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scriptures. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are important among the tribes of Judah. A ruler came from you who will be like a shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod had a secret meeting with the wise men and learned from them the exact time and they first saw the star. He sent the wise men to Bethlehem, saying, "Hey, look carefully for the child, and when you find him, come and tell me so I can worship him too." After the wise men heard the king, they left. The star they had seen in the east went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They came to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their gifts and gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they returned to their own country by a different way. Now, David, those words are very powerful and sometimes difficult for us to grasp. First off, my question to you, sir, is how long did this happen? I have heard some teachers say this was in a matter of days when Jesus was recently born, and some said it was as long as 2 years later when Jesus was a youngster, opposed to a newborn baby when the wise men approached. Is there any way that we can decipher from the scriptures where the truth might be.
It's a lot of fun to follow the paths to the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a big journey. When we start in December 1, we go through a lot of special days where we begin to examine everything that happened. You got the wise men here. Mm-hmm. You've got all the things that started with the gifts of myrrh and frankincense and gold. And this year, I'm 1 year older. And I've been looking back to see a different perspective of Christmas. You do that when you get as old as I am.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was young, I used to read the story, and it was fun. I've been through 82 Christmases. So I've learned a lot about that.
Yes.
This year, along with our church, the pastor of our church, he said, let's do something together as a church. And so he began to preach, and I've sat there and enjoyed it. He wanted to talk about hope. All these guys that you were reading about had hope, even though Herod came through with different orders. They still had hope. And then they had love. They loved what they were doing when they found Mary and the Christ child. They loved him so much. And then they went for the joy that comes when you accept the Christmas story. It's a part of the journey. If you started at December 1 and just began to read every day from the Bible, and then you just begin to follow the pathway that they are going, you find yourself fascinated with hope and love and joy and finally peace. Peace came to the troubled world that day. Everybody didn't know that. But the journey is good. And in the years that have followed back in the 1900s, and then now we've come all the way to 2017, and we are trying to find ourselves in this journey at Christmas. Christmas is a great time of the year. And that's what we're here today. We want to tell the people how important it is to go through the story, but how also to put themselves in the middle of the story. And the only way you can do that is to pick out some big words like love and joy and peace and hope. Those help us to fit into the story, and the journey is good. Some of you that haven't thought about this, you only have a few days to catch up and to say, hey, I followed the truth. I followed the whole story from beginning to end. And so that's where we are. I mean, it goes on. I don't know how long it took for Mary and Joseph to take the baby to Egypt. I don't know that. Maybe somebody has the answer. You want to raise your hand? It's a fascinating story that they did finally say, hey, you know, this guy's really for true. Herod's really going to kill the babies. And we got to get Jesus out of here. And they took him to Egypt. It's a fascinating part. That's how you begin to fit your own family into the story. The little children are interested in what happened to the baby Jesus and why did they do this and why did they do that. You know, the whole family sits around supper table every night in December, and the journey to Christmas is fantastic. It's powerful and it's intriguing. And I hope that your family, wherever you are in this radio land, I hope that you are doing something about that than just buying the gifts and cooking the turkey and it's over. Well, let's go on to the next part of our life. No, it's more than that. Gift, it's more than that. It's the most incredible thing that's ever happened on earth. Man, you picked a good subject today to talk about.
I thank you, my friend. You have a way with words to make it very vivid, easy for us to understand and appreciate. Let me read just a couple of verses about, you were talking about that trip to Egypt. I want to read about that, just a couple of verses, and then we'll talk about that some more. I think that's an important part of Christmas that sometimes we overlook. Let me read, if I may. After they left, an angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt, because Herod is starting to look for the child so that he can kill him. Stay in Egypt until I tell you to return. So Joseph got up and left for Egypt during the night with the child and his mother, and Joseph stayed in Egypt until Herod died. This happened to bring about what the Lord had said through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. So Jesus is citing scripture, or Matthew is citing scripture, as he is writing this about that trip to Egypt. That's just what you were talking about. To me, that's fascinating. It's a piece of this Christmas story that sometimes we overlook. After the wise men had left, they've got wind.
Yeah, but they didn't go by Herod and tell him where Jesus was.
No, they didn't.
They said, "Hey, that's a problem. We gotta find another way to go home."
Yep.
And when Herod saw that the wise men had tricked him, he was furious. So he gave an order to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area where 2 years old and younger had to be killed. This was in keeping with the time he learned from the wise men. So what God had said through the prophet Jeremiah came true. A voice was heard in Ramah of painful crying and deep sadness. Rachel crying for her children. She refused to be comforted because her children are dead. What a tragedy for families in that day that had to.
Oh my, yes.
It almost reminds you of the story of Moses. How Jochebed said, "Hey, they're going to kill all the babies two and under. We got to take care of our baby." And they put him on the Nile River and saved his life. Became a great leader, Moses.
I want to talk about that for a minute. Because I saw, History Channel runs religious stories, Christian stories occasionally. And, of course, I try to soak up as many of them as I can. And this subject came up, and it fascinates me. I think that's Matthew chapter 2, verse 16, if I'm not mistaken, what you were just quoting. And they had a historian on that channel who said there is only one verse in the Bible that can't be proven either historically or scientifically. And it's this verse where King Herod said he's going to kill all of the youngsters that are underage too, all the young boys underage too in Jerusalem. There's no place else in history where it says that. Now, the Bible tells us that that's what happened. So to me, that ends the debate. That's what happened. But the historian had a little twist there for us to think about. He said, one of two things are true. He said, one, it never happened, which we know it did. He said, so two, it was so terrible an event that nobody else could have the courage to write about it. So that's how bad that event was. Can you imagine soldiers running through Jerusalem looking for babies under the age of two and killing them? That is just about the most heartless thing a person could hardly imagine. So I guess, too, nobody would want to write about it or talk about it or believe that it possibly could have occurred. Do you have any additional insight on that?
I'm asking the question, what if that happened today?
Oh, my.
In America?
Oh, my.
If somebody came with enough energy and enough of do what I say. I mean, this is bad to think that a man could
actually do that.
In other days in our country, in the world, there have been a lot of people just murdered.
Yeah.
By the hundreds and the thousands of people. We are fortunate that we live in an age where that does not happen anymore.
That's correct.
Almost anywhere, unless we haven't heard about it in the villages of Europe and Africa.
It's staggering, though, isn't it, to think that somebody could actually do that. And can you imagine a soldier? Now, I realize particularly the Roman soldiers, they had a very firm allegiance, so they did as they were told. But can you imagine anybody, even a very firm soldier, committing that kind of murder, murdering a child, young child, baby, probably didn't walk in most cases yet, right in the presence of the family, and saying I'm doing this because the law says I should do it? Wow, I mean, that is really a barbarian. But it happened. It happened.
The story goes on that Herod died, and yep. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream while he was in Egypt. And the angel said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, because the people who were trying to kill the child are now dead. That must have been a glorious day. Mm-hmm. It was like taking a trip to grandma's house.
That's right. Yeah.
Like taking a trip to California. So Joseph took the child and his mother and went to Israel, but he heard that Archelaus was now king in Judea since his father Herod had died. So Joseph was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went to the area of Galilee to a town called Nazareth and lived there. And so what God had said through the prophets came true. He will be called a Nazarene. The story is unfolding, and now yes. We usually don't see that. Nobody talks about what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
They'd start at Nazareth when they were taxed and had to leave Nazareth and go down to Bethlehem. The story unfolds slowly, but it's good reading.
Well, you can't blame people for skipping that part because it is very gruesome. However, it's real scripture, and it's something that we need to be aware of, and that's part of the life of Jesus. Now, I'm not sure geographically. I don't have that map memorized in my head. But where is Nazareth in relationship to Israel? I mean, I always thought that it was right on the border, but maybe that's not true.
It's in the north.
It's in the north.
Nazareth is in the north. They had to come south to Bethlehem.
Above Israel or in Israel?
It's all in Israel.
It's all in Israel.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, but it's in the northland.
Okay, it's in the northern section.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So.
All right.
And it was not easy going. They couldn't get a bus or an airplane to take them where they had to go.
That's right.
They had to ride on a donkey or a horse or walk.
Yes.
And,
yes.
It didn't take one day. Nowadays, we can go across the country in 5 hours.
Oh, my, yes.
They would take 5 hours to just get out of town.
Can you imagine traveling with a young baby on a donkey?
Yes.
How would they have done that? It would have taken forever to get there. And you're absolutely right. It's amazing that we think about this. The beauty of Christmas, though, Dave, we cannot discount this beautiful season, what it means to us, and how it evolves, and what it's become. And I just think it's a very sacred thing that we celebrate Christmas in so many different ways. And, you know, we used to laugh about the commercialism associated with Christmas. And I think I'm over that stage. I'm willing to accept that, okay, there is a segment of our Christmas season that is rather commercial. But I don't know that that's so horrible. I just want people to remember the beautiful portions of Christmas. The virgin birth, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit united as one. And all this is celebrated during the birth of Christ. David, we've exhausted our time. Would you please give us some positive closing words about Christmas? And we're going to pick up this subject again tomorrow then.
Christmas is a wonderful thing to talk about, a wonderful thing to have a conversation at your supper table. Why don't you tonight decide that your family would talk about the real Christmas way? Don't be all caught up with presents, and that's good. That all happened at the right time. But wouldn't it be good to just take time to mention some things to your family? That's what real Christmas is all about. So do that today. You'll be surprised how much your family doesn't know or how much they do know. Until the next time, Dave Colonin here. I'm proud to be a part of this program. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.